A very good morning, and I greet you on the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we remember the 16th century Reformation. What was that? It was an event that happened more than 500 years ago. The date that we mark is 1517, 31st of October, and that one action by the reformer Martin Luther, he set off a series of events, eventually led to what we call today the Protestant Church, having split away from the Roman Catholic Church at that point of time. Many today look back at that as a divisive event, as one that is not to be welcome or remembered, but maybe a mar, a black scar in the history of the church. And yes, while there were unpleasant, very unpleasant things that happened during that time, but yet we remember it, not because of the violence or the chaos or the conflicts, but we remember it because of the truths, the important truths that were recovered during that time. It was a time in around the Renaissance, a period in Europe where men of learning, people of learning were coming to study. They started to learn or relearn languages like Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, amongst other things. And part of that was also the renewed study of the Word of God in its original languages, in a language that was known and understood by people. And part of what they, you can say, recovered at that point of time was really a simple truth of the gospel. How is a person saved? How can we know God? How can we go to heaven? And it was during that time that five truths, or what, you know, theologians later encapsulated into five truths, or five what we call solas, right, were coined. And they are namely sola scriptura, and these are Latin terms. It was the language of theology at the time. Sola scriptura meaning scripture alone. So we are saved, or we know God through scripture alone, through the word of God alone. We are saved sola fide, by faith alone. We are saved sola gratia, by grace alone. And it is solo Christ, solus Christus, which is today's message, through Christ alone, and soli Deo gloria, which is for the glory of God alone, or to the glory of God alone. And these were some of the truths that they gathered or rallied around, understanding that salvation, right, the way to the Lord Jesus Christ, or the way to God, is simply by grace through faith. How do we know that? Through the word of God. In faith to who? In faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the purpose behind it all? It is all for the glory of God. And that is what we gather to remember, not just on this Sunday, but every Sunday. The fact that by grace through faith, the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. And that invariably will be the testimony of every born-again believer. Today in the weekly, you also received a little booklet of sorts. And in this, what we see are the testimonies of all those that have stood before us this morning. They share their story. And yes, while all of us have a slightly different path to coming to know of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, invariably, it will be all these things that have happened. That in Scripture alone, they came to know all these truths. And the Lord worked in their hearts, helping them by His grace to know and to believe, to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that it's in Christ alone that their sins are forgiven and their lives are changed. And that is all to the glory of God. And so that is the story, not just of an event that happened 500 years ago, but it is the story of every single one that comes to Christ all through the ages. And that's a story that continues to be written. And the story that we have seen confessed and testified of this morning before you, that they have all believed in Jesus. And so that is what we want to meditate upon this morning. What does it mean that we are saved through Christ alone? What is so special about the Lord Jesus Christ? What is so important about Jesus? And what is it that Jesus can grant us, can offer us in this life? And of course, in the life to come. The passage before us, John chapter 14. It's a very wonderful passage, a very meaningful passage. It is a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples shortly before he goes to the cross and before he leaves this earth. As we know, Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself. He came to this earth for a mission, for a very specific purpose. He came as one who was fully God, but also fully man. And he went through this whole life, human experience. But for what reason? For what purpose? So that one day he can go to the cross and he will be punished, hung shamefully as a criminal. But not for crimes that he committed. He was innocent, completely innocent. But yet as he hangs on the cross, he will receive the punishment that is meant for a sinner. Why? Because in so doing, the Bible tells us that he takes our place. He takes the place that we deserve, because we are all sinners. We all deserve to be punished. We all deserve to be condemned. But by his grace, it is the gift that God has given to us, knowing that we by ourselves cannot save ourselves. He gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus took the punishment on our behalf. And the promise is that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer have to face that punishment, that we can be welcomed to heaven together with him. And that is the comfort, the assurance that we can have in this life. And that is the first thought I want to present to you this morning, that through Christ alone, we can have comfort in this life. And that is the precious truth that all of us and every believer throughout the world has. You know, there are a lot of things that can trouble us in this life. Uncertainties, chaos all around us. There are many things that can potentially get us down, cause us to be worried and anxious, cause us to be very down, even depressed. And that was the danger that the disciples of Jesus were also in, you know, could potentially fall into. You know, in the previous chapters, Jesus was starting to hint, or actually not quite hint, quite outrightly tell them that he's going to leave soon. This was the master whom they loved, the man whom they had been following over the past 3 years. And then he's starting to tell them that I have to leave, I have to depart. And not only that, is through means by which he will be arrested and tortured and eventually killed. And the disciples were very troubled. They didn't understand why. They couldn't take it. And furthermore, just in the verses before, at the end of chapter 13, you know, Jesus then told Peter, one of his disciples, that you will betray me, that you will forsake me, you will turn away from me. And that was very troubling as well. And Peter quite proudly declared, he says, no, I will lay down my life for your sake. He says, no, I will follow you to the very end. So there were all these things that were troubling the disciples. One of you will betray me. And Peter declared, no, I will follow you. And Jesus says, no, you will deny me. And he says, I'm going to leave. And so at the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus spoke these words of assurance. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. What does that mean? As this idea of stop being troubled. He looked into their hearts and he knew the worry, the anxiety, the trouble that they were going through and experiencing. In the very same way, God knows exactly what we are facing today. Whatever it is that is troubling us, whatever it is that are worrying us. And there are many things that can potentially get us down. The turmoils that we face in this life, the challenges that we face, the fears that we have, the fears what of uncertainty, fears of things that we cannot control. Because we want to be in control, isn't it? We want to be the masters of our fate. We want as far as possible to know what tomorrow will bring. But the reality is that nobody knows. Nobody knows. And every single day we turn on the news, we read the papers, or for many of you probably you scroll through social media, and you hear of all the things that are happening in the world around you. And we can get very troubled. You say, what is the world coming to? There's wars, there's chaos all around us. And everything is so unpredictable. I don't know what the future will bring. Or to others, we feel that the future seems so bleak. Everything is just getting from bad to worse. What comfort can we have in this life? Well, solus Christus, through Jesus Christ alone, he brings us comfort. But what comfort are we talking about here? It is not just a kindly old person that comes to you, pats you on the back and says, there, there, things will be okay. I mean, what comfort can that bring us, isn't it? You can look, ruefully look to such a person, even if it's a close friend, your spouse even, and say, what do you know? Can you tell me what's going to happen tomorrow? Can you make the world better? And the fact of the matter is, nobody can. Nobody can truly, with all confidence, say, don't be troubled. Stop being so worried. Because what assurance can we give? We are not the ones in control. But you know who is? God is in control. God is the one alone who has the knowledge of the future. God is the one who can grant us comfort. What comfort? The comfort in this life and also in the life to come. The comfort of eternity. And what does he tell us? He tells us, well, simply believe, have faith, trust in me. And sometimes that's what comfort can come by way of, right? When we know that there is someone perhaps who is more in control than us, and then we find some sort of solace or comfort in that. We see that in young children. When they are afraid, right, something that they are unsure of, or they do not have any control over, or something that they are encountering for the first time, they retreat to the solace of one whom they trust. And oftentimes that is a parent, father or mother, or someone in their life that they look up to and they know, well, has the situation more under control than they. And when they're afraid, what do? They cry, Mommy, Daddy. And they run to the arms of Mommy, Daddy. And then in their arms, they feel secure. They feel comforted. Why? Because they trust in this parent. But as parents, we know we can't always be there for them. And also, many times, we are no more in control than they are. We are no more certain of things than they are. Yes, maybe we have a greater degree of some measure of confidence, but we are also not perfect. We are not in control. But what we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells his disciples, and he can say that with 100% certainty, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because if you believe in God, you also believe in me, and I'm here for you. I have assured you that I am by your side. Even though he was physically going to leave them, right, and that was what the part of their trouble and their woe was, he was also, in the rest of this chapter, going to grant them the assurance that there will be another comforter that will come. And that is the Holy Spirit. And he will be with you, and he will guide you. It is the presence of God in our lives. And every believer, we have this confidence, we have this comfort, that in this life we know that we are not alone. God is with us. He has promised us time and time again. And that while we don't know what the future may bring, We cannot predict, not even the very next moment, what will happen. We know that God knows. And we know that He is a good God. And we are fully assured that whatever it is that happens to us, yes, even though it may be things that we deem as a tragedy or a calamity, we deem that these things are bad, but we, by faith, have the confidence to know that God meant it unto good. And so that is what Jesus elsewhere told His disciples. He says, "You come unto Me, all ye that are labor, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is the comfort. He says, "My yoke is easy, My burden is light." That you can find rest and assurance and comfort in this life, but also in the life to come. Because what He assures us, right, it's not just that He will take care of us in this physical life, He will take care of us for eternity. And that is assurance. That is what salvation is. And that's why Jesus alone is the one that can give us comfort and assurance in this life. Because we know that He has gone ahead of us. He died on the cross for our sins, but He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And that is proof to us that God is able to do that. God is able to raise one from the dead. God is able to grant us eternal life. Because life is from Him. He gave us this life. And He alone dictates what is to happen to us after this physical life, where our souls will be for eternity, and the fact that He will grant us a new body, a glorified body, like Jesus when He rose again from the dead. And so that's the first assurance that we can have, that if we believe in God, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, our life is assured. That is the testimony of all who stood before you this morning. And they now have this full assurance, that comfort to know that God is with them in this life, and God will continue to be with us forever and ever. Why? Because of what Jesus has told us. That leads us to the second idea, that He is the only source of truth. Now you notice, you start to notice a pattern here, right? Because in verse 6, Jesus will say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so let us look at in reverse. Firstly, He gives us comfort in this life. Why? Because our life is secure in Him. He grants us eternal life. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, "I am the truth." What does that mean? The only source of truth is from Him, because He is God. You see, we live in a world today where truth seems to be something that is highly subjective. We can't quite know anymore what is objective truth. Everyone is now shouting, "Oh, that's false news, fake news. Oh no, that is not true, this is true, that is true. Oh, they have been hiding things from you. We don't know. The truth is out there." And that causes us to be, again, very afraid. Everything that we pick up and read, how do I know this is true? And to a degree, that is a reality. Because nobody in this world has perfect knowledge. And even the most sincere person, he could be wrong. The most esteemed and well-regarded scientists, they continue to study and research, and sometimes in the course of their study, they realize that things that they have believed in the past are also not entirely true. Because they do certain experiments, or they uncover certain things, and they realize, oh, wait, actually, this is how things are. But there is one inerrant, infallible source of truth. And that is what has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is described to us as the living Word of God. And as we know, God is perfect. He alone, He created this whole world. And of course, He knows exactly how this world works. He has set time in motion, and He knows how all things will pan out. The Bible says He is the beginning and the end. He is that perfect, almighty, sovereign God. And so when Jesus came to earth, He came, right, as I mentioned earlier, fully God. And while He was on earth, He gave numerous promises to us. And that is what the Word of God is about. It is all of God's promises and assurance to us. And time and again, that's what he told his disciples. He gave them promises. And now he affirms that in this line that he says, if it were not so, I would have told you. Meaning to say that of course it's true. I will never lie to you. And that is who God is. He's perfect. Morally perfect as well. He will never lie. And so everything that has been written to us, everything inscribed in this word, it is the full and the complete objective truth. And that is what we believe in. That's what every believer has that confidence of. And so what exactly was Jesus assuring his disciples of here? There are many promises that he was giving. Firstly, he told them that in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we think of this word here not literally as, you know, mansions, and you think of all those beautiful, huge houses, you know, in all those expensive suburbs. Not exactly those. We're not thinking of a physical place. We're thinking of dwellings. The word here for mansions has the meaning of dwellings. Meaning to say that there's huge amounts of space where my Father is. And who is his Father? Is God. Where is God? God is in heaven. He's saying in heaven, there is ample room, space for all of you. And that is where I'm headed to. If it were not so, I would have told you. It's a truth that I present to you now. And then he says, I go and I prepare a place for you. I'm getting ready. In a sense, what he's saying is, I'm ensuring that you will have a pathway there. And where was Jesus going after this? He was talking about the fact that he's going to the cross. He's talking about the fact that he has to first die for our sins, as I mentioned earlier, to take our place, in order that we can get to heaven as well. And so that's the second truth he presents to them. He says, there's a lot of space in heaven for you, but I'm going to make sure that you can get there, and therefore, because of that, I have to leave for a season. I go to the cross, and I, after that, will ascend into heaven. So through his death and his resurrection, his ascension up to heaven, he says, I prepare a place for you. I'm making ready heaven. But I'm coming back. That's a third promise, right? I will come again. And when I come again, I'm going to receive you unto myself. That's a fourth promise. So Jesus is coming again, is the third promise. The fourth promise is that he is coming and he's bringing us home together with him. And that's a comfort, isn't it? That's an assurance. Because the disciples very much wanted to be with Jesus. Like all of us here as well. All who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to be with him. And he says, yes, I'm coming to bring you home. I'm coming to bring you up with me so that you can be together with me and my Father in heaven forever and ever. That's a fifth promise, the promise of eternity. Right, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where is this? Heaven. And he says that where I am in heaven, you can come and you will be with me also. Amazing truths, isn't it? And Jesus, in these two simple verses, presents them all to us. It is simply the promise of salvation. Do we want that? Do we want that promise? You say, oh, I'm not so sure. Is that true? Yes, it is true. It is 100% true. There's nothing more true, more factual, more real than the words of God. In everything else, every single other book that has ever been published by men, none of that is perfect. No matter how many editors pore over it, mistakes slip through. No matter how many fact checkers there are, we can never be 100% sure, because what do men know? What do we know? We are still learning. We are still coming to understand this world around us and all the facts of all the events that are happening. But the Word of God, that is that truth that is unchanging, the truth that God has given to us, and the only source of full and objective truth. And Jesus says, if it were not so, I would have told you. But he says it is true. And by faith we believe. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. And he presents us all these things. Now, not just these five truths in these two verses, but this whole Bible, this whole Word of God. That's as Peter said to Jesus, he says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life. You are the one who knows all things, God." And he has told us. He has told us all these things. In this world of confusion and falsehood, many things can, again, confuse us, isn't it? But it is the word of God that alone which is truth. And that is part of what the Reformation also uncovered for us. They came back to the word of God. They came back to the Bible. And they asked that simple question. What does the word of God say? Not what the traditions of the church are about. Not what is the declarations of the priest or the fathers or the pastors. No, simply, what is the word of God? And for every believer today, that is the same question that we have to ask in anything that we face. What does the word of God say? And yes, the Bible does have an answer for all our questions, all our doubts, all our queries, all our worries. Word of God alone has the answer. Not me, not any authority, no government, no, the Word of God. That is what we turn to, because it is in Christ alone that he gives us, firstly, comfort in this life. It is in Christ alone that we have the only source of truth, the Word of God and all the promises that is given to us. And it is in Christ alone, finally, that we have the only way to God. As Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." That's the only way. What is a way? It's a path, right? A means to get to a destination. That is what a way is. And all of you made your way here this morning. Some of you came here for the first time. And before setting off on your journey here, you would have asked, now, how do I come here, right? What's the way there? Now, today we have modern equipment, right? We all have, you know, GPS in our phones and in our cars, and that's how we do it today. I mean, there's a computer that teaches us the way. I mean, in the past, that was not so. Right, before all these modern inventions, before satellites in the sky knew exactly where we are and where our destination is, we needed to ask someone, right? We needed to know the way, and the only way that we know is through someone that has been there before. Right? That's how we know to get to a destination. And so it wasn't too long ago, right, that we had to rely on street directories, right? And how do these directories come about? Is by people that have plotted this course. They have gone to everywhere, drawn out the maps, carefully marked out every single road and every street name, and every place assigned an address. And so we say, how do we get there? You can look at the directory. Why? Because it's been written by people who have already known all these destinations. But even before that, how do we do it? We ask someone, right? We ask someone. And that was how it was in the past. You get to a new city, a new town, you stop at the, you know, gas station, the service station, you stop at a convenience store and say, "No, I'm trying to get to this place, how do I go?" And he says, "Oh, I know that place." And then he says, "All right, you go straight, you take the third right, you take the second left, you go down another 100 meters, you are there. That's the way." Right? That's the way that you can get to your destination. If you are to ask someone that does not know and not familiar, he says, "I don't know the way. But because I've been there, someone else has been there, they know." How do we know how to get to heaven? How do we know how to get to the Father? By someone who has been there. By someone who fully and assuredly knows the way. And that was what the disciples asked. Thomas, Jesus told them, he says, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." But the disciples says, "Where? I don't know." Verse 5, Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest," meaning to say, we don't know where you are going. "And how can we know the way?" And then Jesus says, "I am the way." Now that's a little bit different from knowing the way there, right? Someone who instructs you on the way, it's that, well, I tell you how to go and then you find your way there. Actually, what Jesus is saying is something slightly different. It's not just that I've been there and I know how to get there. When he says, I am the way, he's basically saying, I am the journey. I am the means by which I will get you there. I will bring you there. That's what he's saying. I am making the path possible for you to be there, and the only means by which you can get there is through me. And so it's more than just knowing about the way. Jesus says, I am the very way itself. And he elaborates in verse 6. He says, I am the way, and I am the truth. I am the only knowledge of which you know to get there. And I am the promise of life, life eternal. Why? Because no man can come unto the Father but by me or by through me. And that's the gospel. That is what we have been saying from the very beginning. The only way through which we can get to heaven and to come to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the means by which we get there. And I say, if we're talking about physical journey, he's like that Uber that comes, right? He is the one who will personally bring you, escort you there. And he is the one who has that special pass, the entry, to enable him to get to, or that special, perhaps, you know, high security place, or a place that is perhaps invite only. Ever been to such a place? You need an access card, right? Some of these new apartment blocks, yeah, they have high security. And so in order to get into somewhere, you need an access card, right? Or if you're going to perhaps visit a military base that is high security, there are guards outside. But if you were to go in together with the general, he just smiles, he waves, they recognize him, they wave you through, right? And the general says, he's with me, let's come in. Jesus is that way for us. By ourselves, there is no way that we can ever make it to heaven. Why? Because we are sinful. We are sinful. And what makes us think that if we were to, you know, stand before God in eternity, and he says, well, look at me, I've done many good things in my life, you know, God. You know, I helped the poor, I gave to charity. I told some lies, but not that much. You know, I never actually really killed anyone. Yeah, sometimes I was angry and upset. I threw a tantrum here and there, but yeah, I'm not so bad. Really? Can we honestly say before God that I am good? Because God's standard of holiness and perfection is way higher than any of us can ever hope to attain. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That because we have sinned in this life, what awaits us is punishment. You say, oh, God is so unfair. No, God is perfectly fair. He's a perfect judge. And he judges us for our sins, and he cannot in good conscience sweep our sins under the carpet and say, oh, it's all right, just come through. No, heaven is a holy, perfect place. And he says, then how can we ever get there? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. Because he is the Son of God. Because he has lived that perfect life here on this earth. And we are, you know, those, as it were, sitting at the back of the car. He has the access card. That access card is what he did on the cross at Calvary. In giving his life, shedding his blood. And the Bible says that righteousness, the goodness of Christ now covers us if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we get there, God waves us through. Why? Because Jesus says, he's with me. He believes in me. I've forgiven him. And we can now all enter into eternity forever. That's the only way that we can get to heaven. Not by any good works that we have done. Not because we come to church, not because we try to do good deeds, none of that. Because by ourselves, we are not good. We are far from that. We are imperfect. In fact, we are very, very sinful people. If we are all honest with ourselves, we know who we are. Because God does not just look at our actions, he looks at our thoughts, our hearts, everything about us. There is no way that we by ourselves can enter into heaven. You know, many people through the ages have tried to get to get to God, try to get to heaven. In the past, people have tried to build big structures, massive towers, structures which they think, oh, can bring us closer and closer to God. You see that in many ancient civilizations. They are so proud of all these things, towers, things that they have built. Also, oh, that brings me closer to God. Did that work? Of course not. Other people in the past have tried through their sort of worship, unguided worship, building totem poles, building idols, making all sorts of sacrifices, thinking, oh, this is what my God wants, and I do all these things, and maybe God will accept me. But you see, very much all these things have always been, I can do something to get me to God. And ultimately, we know that all of man's efforts will never be good enough. It will always fail, because these are sinful works done by sinful hands. But God's word alone tells us that we cannot, by ourselves, earn our way or work our way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way. And all you have to do is to trust in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust in me, and I will bring you with me. And Jesus says, I mean, he made all these promises, right? I will go and I'll prepare a place for you. I will come and I will bring you to myself. And that is the very way. Yes, by ourselves, we don't know the way, as Thomas said. Where, how can we get there? I've never been there before. I don't know what it looks like. I don't even know how to start. But then Jesus assures us, I am the way. And if you believe in me, my Father's house, there are many mansions. There is ample space for all of us, every single one of us. And the Bible simply says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way in which you can come to me is through my Son, Lord Jesus Christ. He made the way possible for us to reach him. And so he told the disciples, I'm going ahead. I'm going there. I have come from there. I'm returning for a season, but I'm coming again. And that's what the Bible tells us, that Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he will usher up, welcome us up into eternity. Grant us that same glorified, resurrected body that he rose again from the dead with. And he says, you will be with there. He will be there with me. And that is who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says there is one God, one mediator between God and man. What is a mediator? It's someone that comes in between, right, two parties and reconciles them, comes between two parties and is that conduit, that line of communication between them. And who is this? The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for us all. That is the promise. Because left to ourselves, we are sinful. And what we deserve is nothing but the wrath, the anger, the judgment, the punishment of God. But Jesus steps in and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I have died. I have made that sacrifice on behalf of all these sinners. And they now believe and they now come. And God says, yes, I recognize that. Because that one single death of Jesus on the cross, because he is God and because he was perfect, is of infinite value. And his righteousness covers all of us, so that God sees us not, no longer as the sinners that we are, he sees us as like his own Son, and he welcomes us into heaven. And therefore look to Jesus as the only way, solus Christus, the only way to God. And so therefore, there is really nothing to fear in this life. There is no longer anything to be troubled about. Why? Because we know that our eternity is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that in this life that we have right now, God is with us. And he has promised to guide us, protect us at each step of the way. We are assured by the only truth, and that is the word of God. And therefore, Jesus is to us our only comfort in life and in death. Why? Because he has fully paid for my sins. He has done it all. I'm freed. And I can now rest in Him. That is the wonderful, wonderful, precious promise, the wonderful blessing that we have today. As we remember the Reformation and all those truths, we remember this assurance that in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, we have the way, the truth, and the life. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, how we thank Thee for this wonderful promise before us, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man cometh to the Father, but by Thee, but by Him. We thank Thee for the faith and the testimony of all who have come before Thee this morning. And Lord, we pray that that same faith will be seen in every one of us gathered here this morning. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit, Thy Word, will speak to our hearts now. Help us to know that only through Christ can we have this hope. Is our eternity secure in Thee? And in this life we can have comfort as well, that we will not be troubled by whatever it is that this world can throw at us, whatever it is that the devil brings against us. We know that we can have hope. We know that we can have this confidence in this life. And may You help us, bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.